Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Robert L. Anderson's first book is the whimsical children's book, Have You Ever Imagined Dogasaurs? And it's just as much fun to read and talk about as the title indicates. Robert studied American literature in college, spent some time as a school bus driver in Virginia and Colorado. Known as Mr. Bob, he had a very entertaining bus, and his interactions with the elementary and preschool children led to Have You Ever Imagined Dogasaurs? And Mr. Bob, Robert Anderson, is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Very glad to be here.
What a great babysitter you turned out to be. You've got them on the bus and everybody is having a good time. We'll talk about the inspiration for the... Let's talk about now. What was the inspiration to write this? Where did this idea come from to combine a couple of different animals out there?
Well, the word that you chose was babysitter, and I'll give you a chronological order here fairly quick. Back in the neighborhood, I was a stay-at-home dad, and I would like to thank my son's mom, because she was working. I was a stay-at-home dad and did professional work. Well, folks around the neighborhood in Arlington, Virginia, needed someone to watch their children. So they contacted me. One couple contacted me. And I watched their children for a day, and they had so much fun. I wore out the children so that when they got home, the only thing they did was eat and go to bed. And so the word kind of spread around the neighborhood. Hey, you know, Bob Anderson is good at taking care of children. So it went from the neighborhood to there was an opening in a preschool in Northern Virginia. And even though I did not have formal education for the preschool, the parents in the neighborhood recommended me, and so the preschool hired me for 2 years. And everything went so well with the preschool. And yet there were budget cuts, so they had to let me go because I was the assistant teacher. But these experiences helped me to develop the camaraderie necessary to interact with children and parents. And from the preschool, I went to the school bus, and I just took elements of my personality, characteristics of the elementary school kids and preschool kids' personality. And between the two, we ended up having a very entertaining school bus. It was high energy, and the kids enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And in the midst of all this, driving safely on a school bus, the most precious cargo that's on the face of the earth. That's a brief chronological history.
An amazing background. I wish we had a babysitter like you that wore the kids out so when we get home, they're all ready to go to bed and we can get on with the evening. It's just it's a dream for a parent, and the bus had to be fun for everybody. You did everything except serve them milk and cookies, and maybe you did that on occasion as well. That had to be as much fun for you as the kids, it sounds like.
Well, there just seems to be, they brought out the personality in me, and I brought out the personality with them. I was blessed to have them comfortable with me. I'm the kind of adult that refuses to grow up, Rick. I just refuse
Good for
to
you.
Grow up.
Good.
So it's like the song, fairy tales do come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. So being young at heart is I take the task serious, but I don't take myself serious.
That's a good model for all of us to live under. I mean, we chronically age. There's nothing we can do about that. But the attitudes that we have, we control that. And you just made a perfect point of that you don't want to grow up, so you don't have to grow up. You just relate to the kids. They relate to you. Talk about where this idea came from. Now, okay, so everybody's there having a good time. They're having a good time. You're having a good time safely driving the school bus. How did the idea come up to it? Let's see, if we took a dinosaur and we took a dog, how did you get to that level?
Well, there wasn't really any eureka moment, Rick. You know, like I have it. Again, this came about. The idea of the book just came about interacting with the children on the school bus and the whole history behind it. And they, it just, Dogs are, domestic dogs are universally loved.
Yes.
And their breeds are so different. Everybody knows about dinosaurs. Throughout the whole world, everybody knows about dinosaurs. People have dogs throughout the whole world. And the thought just occurred to me, I don't even remember when to combine the two. But again, it just goes back to the children. It goes to the parents, the caregivers, grandparents that raise these children just wonderfully. So that the imagination that we used on the school bus or in the preschool or in the neighborhood, everything from singing to drawing, you know, with the children. So I don't take all the credit for this. And again, there was no one-time eureka moment. I just think it evolved into the thought. And then I said, well, why not combine these two creatures, which are universally loved and timeless?
And that brings up some great visual opportunities as well that you have in the book. Now, let me tell you who we're talking to. We've been really engrossed in the conversation here. Robert L. Anderson. And his website is very simple, rlandersonbooks.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We'll have his link there. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. And, okay, now let's pick up with this. How did it get to, you decide you're going to do a combination dog and dinosaur, and then the next step of that, obviously, at some point you decided, I'm going to write a book. That's a big jump, and then publishing it. How did you decide on dog and dinosaur, and let's see what pictures we come up with if we combine the two?
Well, the dogs and dinosaurs were easy because the children would talk about the dogs. The children I looked at in the neighborhood had dogs. And even when I was a child growing up, I remember driving my parents driving to the store, and I had dinosaur figurines that I would play with. And so the thought just occurred, well, let's do dogs and dinosaurs. And my thought was, well, I don't think anybody has ever written a manuscript about dogs and dinosaurs, so let's write out the manuscript and then let's just submit the manuscript to a publisher, and they usually do the research to see if there's any kind of book available about a combination of dogs and dinosaurs, and the publisher accepted it, and there were no other books out there that combined dogs and dinosaurs. So I said, well, let's go with it.
And this is really so well done, and it's a great conversation piece, isn't it? Because you've got kids involved, you've got parents involved, you've got siblings involved. Once you start this whole concept, you could combine just about any two animals in the world to come up with something.
Well, I thought about cats, and we had Mac the cat for a long time. We even picked him up after a Grateful Dead concert in New Jersey. So we loved Mac the cat, but yet it just seemed to me that dogs look different.
Yes.
Cats, they're other than the big cats like the lions, but cats, as wonderful as they are, they kind of look the same, although the color of their fur is different. And so the dogs, they look different. Everything from Chihuahuas to a Great Dane. There's just such a wide variety. So why not use dogs? I thought about African animals, and they have a great variety, but yet dogs are, like I mentioned before, they're universal and they're timeless, and there's dog programs on, and there's always been dog programs on, even when I was a child growing up. So it was just an instinct. It was just a gut feeling to go with the dogs. And then why not dinosaurs? Again, they're universal. They're timeless. Children are fascinated by dinosaurs. So let's just put the two together, put the package together, submit it, and see what happens. I will say I did not do the artwork. That was done by the publisher, and I was very pleased with the artwork. I think they look great.
Yes, they did an excellent job with that. And I want to go back to how this whole thing evolved into the publishing deal, because there's some work involved in putting this together, and you're now dealing with publishers. You decided to go ahead with the manuscript. What was that whole process like? Did it unfold the way you thought it was going to? I mean, you get this idea. They like the idea. There aren't a lot of books, if any, out there that have combined dogs and dinosaurs before. What was your next step to convince them that, okay, I can make an entertaining book here, which you have? This book is really receiving rave reviews. And again, it's whimsical. It's fun. It's a book that kids can talk to about to each other, to their parents. What was this whole process like once you got the go-ahead and now you need to put something together?
Well, I used the idea of have you imagined it. It's a question posed at folks who would read the book, whether adults or whether children, and to pose the question, I believe, kicks in the imagination. Have you imagined? And you know, chose the subject matter dogs and dinosaurs, but it's not limited to dogs and dinosaurs. Children can write about cats and dinosaurs.
Oh,
children,
yes,
could write about cats and an African water buffalo if they wanted and combine the two. So the publishing process, what I did is I just submitted the written words, and I submitted breeds of dogs and kinds of dinosaurs to the publisher, and they took the breeds that I recommended. And how did I come up with the breeds? It was just instinct and gut. A book about dogs was given to me by a great friend many years ago, and I just went through the book and said, okay, I'm going to pick this breed. There was no thinking behind it. I just went by my instinct. And, okay, I'm going to pick this breed, and I'm going to pick and put this breed with this dinosaur. There wasn't a lot of thinking. It was just gut and instinct, and didn't overthink it, and that I went with it. And the folks at the publishing company did a great job of combining the two.
You know, it's so amazing. So often people spend thousands of dollars in research. They have all the test groups they bring in, and they run all these different scenarios by them, and they do all the market testing and all of that. And Bob's gut seems to be about as good as anything with the rest of them there, understanding what it is. And maybe that's the key to this. You understand the market. I mean, you deal with them every day. You know what makes them laugh. You know what makes them sad. You know their personalities. How much did that enter into it, that interaction that you had with the kids, that you pretty well knew where you wanted to go with this?
Well, we were very intuitive on the bus. We would do what the great Benny Goodman would do. He would sing, 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 bump, 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 bump. And so this interaction with singing with the children, it just created an atmosphere on the bus that was uplifted and upbeat. I'm feeding off their energy. They're feeding off my energy. And then things happened intuitively, spontaneously, improvisationally. On the bus. They loved it. I loved it. I was just a big kid, equal with them. I'm humble to say that. And they knew I respected them and their families, and with a combination of entertaining the children on the bus at Christmas time, and we would celebrate birthdays, and in the summertime before school got out, it got hot, I would have drinks for the children. It was just a great a moment of intuition, improvisation, spontaneity, and that kind of turned into it transferred into the book. Rick, it only took me about, I would say, maybe 2 hours to pick out the breed of dog, pick out the dinosaur that went with it, listen to my gut, listen to my intuitiveness, listen to my conscience, and put the two together, submitted it, and here we are.
Here we are today talking about it. Robert L. Anderson. His website is rlandersonbooks.com. Direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book, of course, available. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Talk about the relationship with the children. I mean, you have this very affectionate bond with the, they like you, you like them, but they go on to the next grade. Maybe you stop driving the bus. Do you stay in contact with any of these kids?
Well, not away from the bus, not away from school, but yet, I'm with them almost 2 hours a day, the children that I would drop off last. And in terms of singing, what they really loved, when I was in the Army, you learned to sing with cadence. You know, here we are going off to camp, talking about basic training. And we're going to do this just a, we aren't any Army tramps. And I'm making this up as I go. Well, on the bus, we would do the Army cadence, which they loved, and you make it up as you go. Here we are going off to school, reading a book. It's so cool. Get to school safely on time as we drive between the lines. And I'd say, am I right or wrong? And the kids would say, you're right. And, you know, we learned to do that over the years. The great thing about Arlington County Public Schools was they gave us the same route every year. So some of these children I drove 4 years. And it's very humbling, and it actually brought a little water to my eyes when the second year, third year, fourth year, I'm driving towards their bus stop, and they're jumping up and down because they see Mr. Bob, and it created a great atmosphere, a high energy, positive atmosphere on the bus. And then, Rick, real quick, I'll mention this to you. At the end of the year, with one of the schools in the assembly, I taught the children to sing the Witch Doctor song. I told the Witch Doctor I was in love with you. And then the kids would sing bum, 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 bum. And we went through that whole song in the assembly. So we created memories, and for them and for me. And also one other thing real quick, Rick, was at the end of the school year, I took a group shot of the children from the bus from that particular round. Yes. So something to carry on for them throughout the rest of their lives.
Kids usually get on the school bus and want to get off. I can see them saying to you, if they're at the end of the route, Mr. Bob, can we go around the block just one more time and have a little more time here to spend together? It's just an amazing story. And it's just the book is so well done. And the story behind it is probably unlike any other story that made it to the publisher. Now the book is out there. People are enjoying it. You're doing the marketing part of it. How's this whole thing working out? I mean, what an incredible journey that you've been on.
Well, it's been a wonderful journey through the whole process. For me, it brings back memories for me, again, all the way back to the neighborhood and how this evolved up to this day. And obviously, I can't remember some of the children's names, although we were told learn the children's names. And so I did. And the one bus run I had, there were 50 children from 5 different continents. Wow. And it took me till Christmas to learn their names, because there were 50 children. And, again, 5 different continents. The only continents not represented were Australia and Antarctica. And I called it the international bus. And so, you know, you respect the children no matter where they're from. They loved it when you tried to learn their names. They appreciated it. They're sharper. They're smarter than people realize. They remember. They take in information more than a lot of people realize.
Where did this come from for you? Were you from a large family? Do you have a large family? Where did this come from that you really feel comfortable talking to the kids at their level, not down to them, but talking to them at their level?
Well, I think a characteristic of not taking myself serious.
Yes.
You know, again, take the task serious, take the driving serious. For sure. It's just part of the personality. I was able to teach children's church for 20 years. And then I mentored to some children in the church that didn't have dads for a few years till they moved away, even before I started to drive in a school bus. So that's part of the history also. And it just reacts. And, you know, I give God the glory and the credit for all this. And, you know, along with, the parents and the guardians and the grandparents, everybody is involved. Everybody is a piece of this. And I'm humbled about this. I really am. I'm truly humbled and grateful.
Talk about the journey. When you get to the point where you've approved everything, they've got the books ready to go, they published the books, you probably get a box at home that's got at least the, you know, a copy in for you, maybe some others as well. What was that like when you see the end of all of this and all the fun you had along the way? Usually it's an arduous process when you're going to get a book published. I can see smiles and I can see you, you know, having a good time throughout all of this. No stress, you're having fun. What was it like when you picked that book up and you looked at the cover and you knew the stories, the love that went into this book? What was that experience like?
Well, you experience a feeling of some satisfaction. But again, it reverts back to all the folks that I interacted with for these years, driving the school bus and back to the neighborhood and back to Children's Church, and the opportunities that were given to me. So that keeps me, again, I use the word humility, that keeps me humble and grateful. And yes, there is a degree of some self-satisfaction, but I try not to take myself too serious. Just go on, just do the next right thing in front of me and leave the results to God is how I approach it. I am blessed to have maybe another, I think it's 11 manuscripts to submit, and we'll submit those as time goes on. But yet I go back to that word humility.
And it's sort of lacking anymore, it seems like, or it's a little bit at least. It seems to be everybody is, every sentence starts with I, and you go off from there. You're telling a story to somebody, and they can't wait for you to shut up so they can top your story. So humility is something that's needed, and obviously you have that, and you just to be congratulated for what you've done here. You mentioned other manuscripts. Will there be a follow-up to this?
Yes, I hope so. I believe they're also children's books. They are entertaining. They address everything from illogical speak to anthropomorphism and a science that children can relate to. And we'll see what the future holds up. Rick, this whole journey isn't a me program, it is a we program, meaning as I remember the parents I was able to share the cheer at Christmas time with little gifts for the children, and then the parents shared the cheer back with gifts towards me, and it was just a great relationship. It's about all of us. It's about all of us, not just myself.
Boy, it's a great lesson for the kids, for their parents, for people that are listening and watching our interview. Just don't take yourself too seriously and just enjoy life and open up yourself for experiences like these. What are you doing now? You're in Colorado now, from Northern Virginia to Colorado. Whatever you're doing, I'm sure you're having fun.
Yes. I work for the Colorado Department of Transportation. I'm a custodian. I am blessed to have this position. But I just finished a couple of months ago a manuscript that was submitted. It's called The 8-Year Circumstance. It's about an 8-year situation in my life. It's more of a serious book. It's a story. It is nonfiction. It is true. And factual. There is no embellishments with it, and it's been accepted by another publisher. It's about 205 pages, so we'll see what happens as we go with that book, and then we'll see what happens with the other children's manuscripts. I'd like to get them published. I really would. They'd be fun. They would be fun.
I would love to see that happen, and we will stay in touch. And when the next book is out, we will talk about this again. And we're at that time of year where we're looking for gift ideas for the neighbors' kids, for your family members. kids of friends of yours. I mean, all sorts of young people out there. What a great idea. This is a book that whimsical was the word that kept popping in my mind at first, because you really have such fun with this. And I love the title. Have you ever imagined Dogasaurs? And that sounds like a book you'd want to read, and you would want to read it, and your children would want to read it. This time has gone by so quickly, Robert. Thank you for joining us on the program. This has been fun. Good luck with everything else you've got going, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. This has been fun for me, too, and I hope for everybody who views this video. And I'd just like to say thank you to, you know, the parents, again, that I've been blessed to interact with, and all characteristics of their family.
And the author's marketing consultant is King Pages Press, and I thank them for their part in today's interview, Results Oriented, making sure your work sets the attention and gets the attention that it truly deserves, King Pages Press. Robert, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we can do this again. You're listening to This Week in America. Information on Robert on his website, rlandersonbooks.com. A direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Amazon, of course, and all the other bookstores have the books. This book is Have You Ever Imagined Dogasaurs? You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.